Before, scraps. That's all I got. Fragments that made no sense without the words before or the words after. We were folding the complete works of William Shakespeare, and I'd scanned the first page of the editor's preface 100 times. The last line on the page rang in my mind, incomplete and teasing. I have only ventured to deviate where it seemed to me that... Ventured to deviate. My eye caught the phrase each time I folded a section. Where it seemed to me that... That what? I thought. Then I'd start on another sheet. First fold, the complete works of William Shakespeare. Second fold, edited by W.J. Craig. Third fold, ventured to bloody deviate. My hand hovered as I read that last line and tried to guess at the rest. W.J. Craig changed Shakespeare, I thought, where it seemed to him that... I grew desperate to know. I glanced around the bindery, along the folding bench piled with quires of sheets and folded sections. I looked at Maud. She couldn't care less about the words on the page. I could hear her humming a little tune, each fold marking time, like the second hand of a clock. Folding was her favourite job, and she could fold better than anyone. But that didn't stop mistakes. Folding tangents, Ma used to call them, folds of her own design and purpose. From the corner of my eye, I'd sense a change in rhythm. It was easy enough to reach over, stay her hand. She understood. She wasn't simple, despite what people thought. And if I missed the signs, well, a section ruined. It could happen to any of us with the slip of a bone folder. But we'd notice. We'd put the damaged section aside. My sister never did. And so I had to keep an eye, watch over. Deep breath. Dear Maud, I love you, I really do, but sometimes this is how my mind ran. Already I could see a folded section in Maud's pile that didn't sit square. I'd remove it later. She wouldn't know, and neither would Mrs. Hogg. There'd be no need for tutting. The only thing that could upset the apple cart at that moment was me. If I didn't find out why W.J. Craig had changed Shakespeare, I thought I might scream. I raised my hand. Yes, Miss Jones. Lavatory, Mrs. Hogg. She nodded. I finished the fold I'd started and waited for Mrs. Hogg to drift away. Mrs. Hogg, the freckly frog. Maud had said it out loud once, and I'd never been forgiven. She had no trouble telling us apart, but as far as Mrs. Hogg was concerned, Maud and I were one and the same. Back in a mo, Maudie. Back in a mo, she said. Lou was folding the second section. As I passed behind her chair, I leant over her shoulder. Can you stop for a second? I said. I thought you were desperate for the lav. Of course not. I just need to know what it says. She paused long enough for me to read the end of the sentence. I added it to what I knew and whispered it to myself. I have only ventured to deviate where it seemed to me that the carelessness of either copyist or printer deprived a word or sentence wholly of meaning. Can I keep folding now, Peggy? Lou asked. Yes, you can, Louise, said Mrs. Hogg. Lou blushed and gave me a look. Miss Jones. Mrs. Hogg had been at school with Ma, and she'd known me since Maud and I were newborns. Still, Miss Jones, the emphasis on Ma's maiden name, just in case anyone in the bindery had forgotten her disgrace. Your job is to bind the books, not read them. She kept talking, but I'd stopped listening. I'd heard it 100 times. The sheets were there to be folded, not read. The sections gathered, not read. The text blocks sewn, not read. And for the 100th time, I thought that reading the pages was the only thing that made the rest tolerable.